you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see everyone tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, 797, Praise the Almighty. Following that hymn, we'll follow the service of prayer and preaching. It's on page 260 and following. We'll use the insert from this last Sunday. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You shower down upon us. Tonight, we especially thank You for the gift of faith. Heavenly Father, so many times, what our eyes see, our ears hear, and our lives experience is contrary to You, to Your Word, and to Your promises. Heavenly Father, at these times and always, help us to cling to You, to Your Word, and the perfect gift of Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection sets us free from sin, death, and the devil. It's in His name that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 797. preaching, page 260. Page 260. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We say it. The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis, chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day. Second reading, the epistle, is from Ephesians chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual.
O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be mounted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, rise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the common responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Please stand as we recite the Catechism. We begin with God's holy law, the Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Baptized into Christ, we speak the creed together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection.
We pray as our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Please be seated. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. These words from 1 Samuel are very applicable to our gospel reading today. And it might seem a bit strange to say that words that talk about how we see compared to how the Lord sees, would apply to the gospel lesson in which Jesus heals a paralyzed man. But actually, as we look at the text, we will see that again and again we find the language of seeing. And behold, they were bearing toward him a paralytic who was lying on a bed. This verse begins with the word, behold. And it's easy to skip right over this word. Perhaps you didn't even see it. But this is not a filler word. It's important. It's a command to you to look, to see, to pay attention to what happens next. So, what do you see with your eyes? Well, I see some men carrying a paralyzed man to Jesus. Or rather, they're trying to carry him to Jesus, except, as Mark tells us, because of the crowd, they couldn't get through, so they dragged the man up onto the roof, made a hole, and lowered him through to Jesus. This is what we see. But what does Jesus see? He sees something that we cannot. He sees something that's invisible. Jesus sees faith. Now, we can't see faith. We can see the evidence of faith in the same way that we can't see the wind, but we can see trees blowing. So we see a man on a stretcher, but Jesus sees faith. And then he does the strangest thing. Having seen their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take heart, child. Your sins are forgiven." That's pretty odd if you think about it for a minute. That's like going to the doctor because you have a broken ankle and he says, "We're going to do brain surgery." Imagine what the men who just carried their friend all across town, dragged him up onto the roof, could be thinking. They are expecting action. They came to Jesus in faith. They think he can help their paralyzed friend. And instead, Jesus says some words. We don't want words. We want action. We want, as Rick Warren says, deeds, not creeds. But once again, Jesus sees what we don't see. We see a man lying on a stretcher, and Jesus sees a sinner. We see a man whose legs don't work, but Jesus sees a man under the sentence of eternal death and damnation. And so Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." In effect, Jesus is saying, "You don't have a paralysis of the foot problem. You have a corruption of the heart problem. You have a sin and death problem." But you know, it's often as soon as pastor or somebody starts talking about sin or death, this might be the point where we tune out and start thinking about what's for dinner. Because the carnal man doesn't really care about eternity. He just wants to know how he can get a little more money, lose a little bit of weight, spice up his relationships, get better grades. These are the things that the natural man sees as important. But what does Jesus see? Jesus does not deal in half measures. He's not interested in handing out band-aids in the cancer ward. And so Jesus deals with the true problem. Now, these friends that dragged the man across town, they knew that Jesus had the answer. Except they didn't know the right question. They were trying to solve the wrong problem. And so Jesus takes care of the true problem. And this is why the Apostle Paul tells us, we do not know what to pray for, as we should. But the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We don't always know what we need, but Jesus does. And this is why the best prayer is the one we just prayed, where we say, "Thy will be done." And so we go to Jesus for the answer, even when we don't know the right question. And this is what the friends got right. Even if they had the wrong diagnosis, at least they brought the man to Jesus. These are the best kind of friends you could ever have. Because Jesus says, "He who comes to me, I will never turn away. Wherever Jesus is, there is life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins. And so these men who brought their friend to Jesus came in faith, expecting good from Jesus' hand, and they were not turned away. But they got far more than they asked for. But this is not the only response to Jesus. The response of faith. And so once again, in our text, we are commanded, behold, look, pay attention. Some of the scribes said in themselves, this man blasphemes. What do you see with your eyes? What's going on here? Well, once again, Jesus sees what is impossible for us to see. What do I see? I see some scribes. They don't look super happy. Maybe they're muttering to themselves a little bit. But what does Jesus see? He sees their thoughts. He sees unbelief. And Jesus, after seeing their thoughts, said, for what purpose do you think evil things in your heart? Now, your translation may say Jesus knew their thoughts. But the Greek word here is the same as in the previous verse, where Jesus sees faith. And now, same word, Jesus sees their thoughts. And we are told twice to pay attention to each of these responses, because these are the only responses to Jesus and His proclamation of forgiveness. Faith or evil thoughts. Faith or unbelief. And the scribes did not believe. In fact, they were offended at Jesus' words. How can this man claim to forgive sins? And you know, it's the same way today. We have all kinds of faith healers running around claiming to make crippled people walk. I went to one of these meetings as a child. They wheeled a man in a wheelchair. They prayed for him. He got up and walked about. And then I stayed late to help clean up the building. And I saw them put the man back into the wheelchair and wheel him out, probably busing him to the next service. But nobody's offended by this. Nobody blinks an eye. And yet, when a Lutheran pastor stands before the people of God and says Christ's words, I forgive you all your sins, oh, you bet people are offended. These are the most offensive words in all Christendom. And it's often Christians who are the most offended. How can this man claim to forgive sins? But you see, all this ruckus, all this hullabaloo just proves that when the pastor speaks these words, they are not merely words. These are Christ's words. And when God speaks, things happen. Reality changes. Sins are forgiven. For the Word of God is living and active. It accomplishes what God says. God's deeds and God's creeds are the same. You cannot separate God's Word from His action. Now, human words are often cheap and hollow. We break our promises. We say things we don't mean. But God's words are backed up by the action of Jesus on the cross for you. From the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. And this word of Christ applies not just to the Jews and Romans who stood around listening. It applies to all people in every time, in every place. It applies here, today, to you. This Word of God changes darkness into light. It changes death into life. And it changes enemies of God, which you once were, into dear children. Now, Martin Luther said that the ear is the organ of faith. The organ of faith. You see, we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. And faith is, by definition, the evidence of things not seen. You can't submit this evidence in a human courtroom. But this is how Christians live. Not with our eyes. We live by faith. And so when our heart condemns us and says, "You are such a dirty sinner. You know what you did. You know what you said and you thought. Nobody else saw it. But you know." When our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. When you don't feel forgiven, God's word of forgiveness to you is more real than anything that you may see with your eyes. And so we cry, "Lord, I believe." Even as we also say, "Help my unbelief." And Jesus never turns us away. The people surrounding the paralyzed man, they couldn't see forgiveness. And so Jesus gave them something they could see. "Let your faithless eyes see this paralyzed man rise and walk and know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And it is the same today. We can't see forgiveness. And so Jesus, in mercy, bids us to see, not with our natural eyes, but to see with the eyes of faith. But because He knows that our faith is weak often, He gives us something we can see with our eyes and touch. He gives us the water of baptism to feel. He gives us His body and blood to taste and touch and smell and see. And He says, "When you touch this, when you taste this, know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive your sins." Elijah said to the widow woman, "Take heart. The jug of oil will not run out. The jar of flour will not fail." Moses said to the Israelites, "Take heart. The Egyptians you see surrounding you, you will never see again." And Christ says to you today, "Take heart, child. Your sins are forgiven." So what do you see with your eyes? Well, I look around and I see that I have not loved the Lord with all my heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I am a great sinner. And I often see a mountain of circumstances and situations surrounding, threatening to overwhelm me. This is what we see with our eyes. But what does Jesus see? Instead of a widow, Jesus sees His precious, spotless bride that He purchased with His own life. And He says to you, "Take heart, for I will provide for all your needs." Instead of a rabble, a group of runaway slaves, Jesus sees His own chosen people, the church. And He says to you, "The enemies that you see surrounding you, you shall see no more, for I have conquered sin, death, and the devil." And instead of a great sinner, Christ sees you, His precious child, whom He washed clean in His own blood, and He says to you, "Take heart, child. Your sins are forgiven." This is what Jesus sees. And He bids you to see with eyes of faith, for what He sees is reality. For He has declared it to be so. Amen. We sing the hymn, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, page 611.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. This time also we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet.
Thank you. prayers is listed in your bulletin. We also remember Clara Dinas, who is hospitalized. We stand for prayer, page 265. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all who care for them, especially Jeanette, Ken, and Clara, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty and merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart that, by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins, for I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We sing. Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, 708. 708.
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Higher Things meeting tonight, and I'm not sure what room that's in. Upstairs? Downstairs? 109. Bible study in the Fellowship Hall. Continue our look at the CTCR document on racism. Also, note that we started two new Bible studies this last Sunday. Summary of Christian Doctrine in room 109, a great refresher of the faith. Or if you'd like to find out a little bit more about what Lutheran Christians believe, teach, and confess. And we started a Bible study on Islam last Sunday as well. That's in the Fellowship Hall. And those Bible studies begin at 9:30 on Sunday morning. Choir upstairs, and anything else? One quick note. Some of you know that our elder Kurt Christensen and his wife Corey are currently in North Carolina at their home there. And they were ordered to evacuate today. So keep them and the entire eastern seaboard in your prayers as everybody braces for the hurricane and the possible devastation that is sure to follow. We pray that God would keep them safe and bring them back safely to us in His good time. I think that's all. Have a great day and week in the name of Jesus.